And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Hey, that's my name. Is that your name? I hope it is. To me, this is the greatest name that a person can wear. It should be above everything in our life. The word Christian. What a wonderful meaning it carries. As I said before, that's my name, and I hope that's your name as well. One that carries a big responsibility. But it's also a name that we can be very proud of. What is a Christian? Pertaining to or deriving from Jesus Christ or His teachings. If I have taken the necessary steps and am a follower of Christ, then I can wear this name. By believing in or belonging to the religion of Christ, and that's basically what that is saying, that if I have taken these necessary steps, then I can wear that name. Exhibiting a spirit proper to a follower of Jesus Christ. Christ-like. This should be my goal. As I go through my everyday walk of life, is to be as near like Christ as I can. So what I believe is that I put my life on display because I'm a Christian. Also it says, one who exemplifies in his life the teachings of Christ. So this carries a big responsibility. I've made a couple of statements at the Lord's table here a while back, and I'd like to elaborate upon them just a little bit. And I talked about being my best, perhaps even wearing my best. And I guess the reason why I feel that way is that I have to prove to Christ that He is first and foremost in my life. And how I arrived at that is in Exodus 20 and 5. Where we find the Ten Commandments. And in the fourth and fifth verse there, we find out the fact that God didn't want a man bowing down to anybody but Him. He wanted Him to be first in their life. And with all my heart, I believe that's my responsibility today as well. But in the fifth verse, it says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I believe that verse. I believe that verse with all my heart. I believe that it is something that is definitely not to be treated lightly. If I show more reverence or respect to something or someone, may God have mercy on me. If I show more honor to someone than I show him, once again, may he have mercy on me. There are some songs that we sing, and I hope that as we sing these songs that we really think about the words. The first one that comes to my mind is 142. The title of it is, I'll Put Jesus First. Listen to these words. The world all about me has now no allure. Its pleasures bring pain. How true this is. Its wisdom is vain. The Bible tells us that godly wisdom is good for us, but earthly wisdom is not good for us. I seek a foundation that's steadfast and sure. I'll put Jesus first in my life. The Lord Jesus died my salvation to win. He went to my stead to Calvary and bled. Redemption impels me to give up all sin. I'll put Jesus first in my life. I know there's a home for the ransomed and the blessed. When death is no more, when struggle is o'er, for those who love Jesus and give him their best, I'll put Jesus first in my life. Though earth's tribulations continue each day, though pleasure may call, though evil enthrall, his grace will protect me forever and aye. What a promise that is. I'll put Jesus first in my life. In all that I say, in all that I do, throughout this world of toil and strife, by day and by night, through trust in his might, I'll put Jesus first in my life. If you notice at the top of this particular song, and another one that I'm going to use, it refers to Matthew 6 and 33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is first? If you're standing in the line and to your back of the line, are you first? I don't think so. If you're standing in the middle of the line, are you first? No. If you're in the front of the line, are you first? That's when I'm first. When I'm in the front of the line. That's first and foremost. You know, there, as we go through life, there are those that we admire. I'm sure that a lot of people here don't remember this lady. Her name was Sister May. But if there was ever an example of a Christian, she was a true example of a Christian. I would just say that she was a first-class Christian. If there was any church activity going on in the area, she didn't own a home, she didn't own a vehicle, but if there was a church function going on in the area, if at all possible, she'd make sure that she was there. So Christ was first in her life. And I heard something later on in life that, to me, that really emphasized the fact that she thought Christ should be first. I remember somebody telling about visiting her I can't remember whether it was shortly before she died, or but anyway, she was, I believe she was in the nursing home. And they came to visit her. And on a stand beside her bed were some books with a Bible on it. And whatever they had, they proceeded to lay it on top of her Bible. And she said, "No, no, 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 no. Don't ever put anything above the Bible. Always have it on top. Always have Christ on the top of your life." Let's look at Psalm 97. Give of the best to the master. Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw out your souls fresh, glowing, a door into the battle of truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give, and to you shall be given. God, his beloved Son, gave, gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master. Not else is worthy his love. Give him yourself for your ransom. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above, laid down his life without murmur, you from sin ruins to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best you have. What is best? I guess the only way that I can think about something that might be the best is some of the examples that we found under the old law. When it come time to offer a sacrifice, they were to go out into their flock. And if this was what they were offering as a sacrifice. But you know, when they went out of the flock, they didn't get a cripple. They didn't get something that nobody else wanted. They didn't get one that was perhaps a three-legged. Or they didn't perhaps pick a runt out of the herd. They gave the best. To me, that's the easiest way, I guess, for me to describe perhaps what would be best. But I also believe that Christ is not going to accept seconds from us either as well. I believe that he demands our best. Another song is number 512. The World's Bible. To me, the words in this song here carry a lot of responsibility. As I said before, every time that we go out in the world, when we walk outside of this door, the world's going to be watching us. Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read, and I believe that with all my heart. Just what I say, when we go outside the door here, or when we step outside of our house, people look to us for an example. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. And of course, we know that we're going to run into those that are perhaps going to give us a problem with if we show in any way that we believe in Christ. We are the Lord's last message, given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other things than His? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things His life would spurn? How can we help to hope Him and welcome His return? Yes, a Christian life is a big, big responsibility. And as I keep thinking that if we're a Christian, we're on display wherever we are. So we have a big example to be the example of what a Christian truly is. And wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whether we're in a car, whether we're at a grocery store, whatever, we are should be a true example of what a Christian is. I'd like to look at 1 Timothy. Where it says, if I remember correctly, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. I believe that actually you could stop right there with that verse. Because I believe that that is our responsibility as we go through our everyday walk of life. It also goes and elaborates a little bit about some things that we should be examples as well, whether it be in word or the way that we talk, how our love is, how great our love is, in spirit, in faith. Is our faith showing? I would hope not. But sometimes maybe it does. Or maybe our lack of faith is showing. Impurity. Example of the believers. And I believe that it covers more than what it says. As I said before, as we go into the world, we can be a bad example. And I believe that we have a responsibility to excel, whether it be in word, conversation, charity, in spirit, faith, and purity. I do believe this. And I believe that I have a responsibility to carry through on this. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, where it says, "For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Glorify God. Be an example in every way, whether it be in our talk, or whether it be in the way that we act, or whether it be in the way that we dress. I think this is something that's very important. Or whether it even is in the way that we think. Even our thinking can get us off on the wrong track. We need to think on Christ. Don't let the world rule our lives. I made the mistake, made this statement here a while back, and I still believe, as I have said before, little by little, we're leaning the wrong way. The world is influencing us instead of us influencing the world. We can also find a warning in about this in 1 John. Three and 15, where it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Love not the world. The world seems to be setting the example. Let us not be a part of it. You know, even what we wear, the world fashions. And if that becomes a part of us, to me, then we become a part of the world. Whatever it is, whether it's good or bad, we shouldn't let it become a part of us. We must be a good and proper example wherever we are. Another verse that I think is very important is Proverbs 22 and 6, where it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We're molding the lives of our young children. We're teaching them. We need to be teaching them according to Christ's way. We need to be setting the proper example as well. We need to be showing them to reverence and respect God and Christ in whatever way that we can, and not conform to the ways of the world. Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I hope you believe that. I certainly do. Christ hasn't changed, and he is never going to change. So if there's any changes made, we're the one that's making the changes. The reason why I say that is, it seems to me that a lot of times we need to be careful that we don't become overconfident, that we don't become so satisfied in doing what we are doing. One example of that I can think about in closing is the example of Noah in the time of the flood. You know, Noah was... took him a long time to build the ark. And I'm sure there were all kinds of questions being asked while he was building that ark. And I'm sure he gave them a good answer. And I'm sure they didn't realize until it started to rain exactly what Noah was talking about. And I guess, if you can imagine, I guess I can imagine, as the water raises, the people climbing to the highest mountain, climbing to the highest peak, perhaps climbing the highest tree that they could find to escape the flood. And the flood lasted long enough so that no man could survive other than being on the ark. Someday we're all going to stand before the judge, so to speak, which will be Christ. The last thing I'm sure we want to hear is, "Depart from me." And I'm sure that there are going to be a lot of smiles that are going to be changed to tears and sadness. And all of a sudden, they realize, and I hope that I'm not one of them, so I need to be careful. But I'm sure there are going to be a lot of disappointed people. People that believe what they were doing was right. But they probably were depending upon the wisdom of man rather than upon the wisdom of God. If you don't remember anything that I said this morning, please remember this. Satan don't want us here. He would rather have us any place but here. And the last thing that he wants is for us to show any honor or respect unto God and Christ. We need to be showing God and Christ all the respect that we can, all the honor that we can, in whatever way that we can. Christ deserves it. He died for us. He paid the supreme sacrifice. I'm sure sometimes we hear people say, "Well, I do whatever's comfortable." Does anybody believe here for a minute that Christ was comfortable when he was hanging on that cross? I don't think he was. And they didn't do anything to make it easy on him. We offer gospel invitation to anybody who might be outside of the body of Christ. If you haven't been baptized, you're not wearing that name, I would encourage you to think about it. Be serious about it. We never know what might become of us. We never know what's in store for us. So if we can assist you in any way, we'd gladly do so as we stand and sing our closing song.